Hey, everybody. Big Papa Pete here, joined in studio by Al.
We're back with another episode of Non-Pro on Film.
Non-Pro on Film, and I am taking this in the tone and direction I want to, because Frank left the studio and is not here to helm us. So, Aquaman. We're going to talk about Aquaman. That was a thing.
The first DCEU review that Non-Pro is going to do is going to be about the movie Aquaman.
Yeah, I think this is the first official DCEU.
The first Warner Brothers DC film we've decided to review. It stars Jason Momoa.
You may know him as Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, and or
Khal Drogo. Khal Drogo from the Wheaties commercials.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, really like this film.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, and this is coming from a person who has not decidedly avoided the DC films. I just haven't gotten around to watching any of them. I never saw Man of Steel, Suicide Squad, Justice League, Wonder Woman, any of them. And I just decided today, for whatever reason, I'm going to see Aquaman.
And I gotta tell you, by and large, that was an excellent decision on your part.
So I've been told.
Not to see the DCEU movies. But they're so awful and dark and convoluted.
Yeah.
With the exception of Wonder Woman.
And apparently Aquaman.
I very much enjoyed Wonder Woman. I'm not getting into Aquaman yet.
Okay.
I'm just giving background on the DCU.
Which is DCU. Fair, because I don't have any, so I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, it's really dark. Superman's dad tells him to go ahead and let kids die if it protects his identity.
Jesus.
Batman hates Superman because he lets people die, even though he's trying not to. But it's okay because they bond because their moms have the same name.
Incidentally, they make fun of that a lot in
just
Teen
about
Titans.
Everything.
But no,
oh yeah,
Teen Titans.
Teen Titans go to the movies.
Yeah, and in this show.
Oh yeah, I liked the movie. The movie was good. Yeah, like I said, you don't need to know much about the DCU.
Yeah, because I went into this blind and it was perfectly fine. There were a few things, like they brought up Steppenwolf, who I can only assume was the bad guy in Justice League.
You're right. I mean, you could assume that Darkseid was the villain in Justice League, but you'd be wrong, because it was apparently Steppenwolf because reasons. Now, anything else you need explained?
There's a few other things that were kind of odd, because there's a point in the movie when Arthur just kind of turns to Mira and says, oh, this is where I got trained by this person who we just suddenly learn are both someone he knew and also the Vizier, played by Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that brought up in Justice League?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, that is a clumsy way of bringing that up, and I assumed that had just been brought up in Justice League at some point.
Yeah, you get this feeling that at the beginning of the movie that he doesn't know anything about his Atlantean heritage. He was just raised by his dad. And, like, maybe his dad told him his mother was from Atlantis, but it's not like he's been exposed to it. And then, you know, about a quarter of the way into the movie, it's like, oh, yeah, I've been hanging out in Atlantis, like, most of my life.
No, he hasn't been hanging out. He's been trained by an Atlantean.
I was like, I've been hanging out. The Green Goblin Green Goblin trained me. You know, it's all good.
Yeah, which is weird because, like, I don't mean to say that Willem Dafoe has been miscast. He hasn't. He does a great job in this movie. But I hardcore was sitting there waiting for him to just kind of like turn evil at any point in time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. He does exude evil.
He does. That's such a shame. Because like, the guy has range and he's been in plenty of other films where he's been the good guy.
So didn't he play Jesus at one point?
Yeah, exactly. And he was the good guy in that movie.
Well, arguably, maybe not as good as you'd like Jesus to be, but
I used to believe in love. Now I believe in this. I'm like, okay.
Oh.
Dial it back.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
But
yeah.
That's my only minor gripe with the film, actually. It's just like there's a little bit of, I guess, pacing issues or just weird continuity foibles.
A little bit at times. But honestly, I think it overcomes them pretty well.
Yeah.
Honestly, my big takeaway when watching that movie was in the future, kids that watch or people that watch this Aquaman movie will have a really hard time understanding why all of us before the Aquaman movie think that Aquaman sucks. Like, why Aquaman is a joke to us.
Yep.
It's like, you watch this, and whether you think it was a really good movie or not, whether you have your issues with it, whatever, he doesn't come off as a joke.
Not even a little bit. Yeah, there's no moment where who he is and the powers that he has are played for a joke. And
no.
I'm kind of thankful for that because, like, even just an illusion, like, there's one minor bit in the film where, like, a bunch of bar patrons kind of like, aren't you that fish boy? And, like, and then immediately you think, like, okay, they're going to think they can take him. Like, hey, can we get, like, a picture with you? And then they immediately get drunk together and it's great and it's funny. I'm like, yeah. All right, this is the movie that we're in. I'm glad.
That was good.
Yeah.
Like, I also appreciate that his dad is Jango Fett.
Yes. Oddly enough, I appreciate that as well. Which means that
Aquaman and Boba Fett are brothers. which is a true thing now. I have decided.
Also, odd thing I kind of like about this film is they actually reference, like, Jason Momoa's actual heritage in this film a couple times. Like, because they just say, oh, well, Arthur Curry is actually just, you know, he's... has the same heritage as Jason Momoa for this film. They talk about Oaxaca every once in a while, and like while they're leaving the bar, and they have the same kind of tattoo. Like, yeah, so it's interesting. I think, like, yeah, it's kind of a cool way of spinning that.
Given Jason and his look, it's hard not to.
Yeah,
especially how different he is from the traditional Aquaman.
I'm from Norway.
Yes. I am Norse.
I have a Norse tan.
I would have given so much. As much as I liked the movie, I would have given so much if he did the entire movie in a Norse accent.
Oh, God.
It was like a reverse Scarlett Johansson.
No.
But I'm going to talk about Jason Momoa, though. Performance spot on. I definitely felt like there was this guy who, at the end of the day, wanted to do what was right, wanted to do the best that he could, was not interested in becoming a leader or any of these things. He just wanted to stop people from getting hurt and wanted to really kick his brother's ass.
Yeah. Something I'm not entirely sure I got why, you know, except for him being evil. And, like, a total jerk?
No, I can immediately figure out why I would be mad at my little brother in that situation. Because, like, hey, you're... As much as Orm hates Arthur in the situation, like, Orm definitely would probably look at Arthur and be like, you're the reason Mom died. And he would look at Orm and be like, you're the reason Mom died. And, like, I think that's the reason why they hate each other to a certain extent, or at least as much as they do, is because, like, they both blame themselves and each other for, you know, their mother getting thrown to the trench.
And Arthur was pretty, did attempt reconciliation with his brother, I guess. Tried to talk it out up until the point where he tried to murder him.
Yeah, there was that moment of, like, you know, I used to think when I was younger, like, I just want to talk to him, see what's going on. Like, who knew he'd be such a, you know.
Yeah.
But
no.
And there's this weird throwaway line towards the end that I kind of appreciate but also think is really out of place. Is at the end of the movie, it's like, hey, when you're ready, we'll talk. And it's like, really? This guy who just, like, wanted to, like, destroy the entire surface world? You're like, hey, bro, you know, we'll hash this out. We'll do some group therapy on this one.
You know what? I actually kind of appreciate that.
No, though. I did. I appreciated it, too. Because it was at the wrong place.
I disagree, actually. I mean, this was coming from... Arthur saw... He knew why Orm was doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
Like, he knew the emotional turmoil that he had and that he felt towards the surface world because of the loss of his mother.
Yeah.
And here they are, and that loss has just been undone. You know, they've got their mother back.
Yeah.
And, you know, he showed understanding that the feelings aren't just going to go away.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, okay, Mom's back, and now... Oh, you know what? I guess I was wrong about the surface. You know, those wounds are going to take time to heal.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I'm still your brother. I'm here. And I liked leaving that open.
I did, too. I appreciated that. I don't know. It felt awkwardly timed for me. But also was another thing. Like, let's transition from Arthur. Let's go to Orm for a little while. I liked most of his performance. In fact, like, through the majority of the film, I liked him as Orm. And, like, they drop Ocean Master every once in a while. And there's that really great moment when he finally puts the mask on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, now you're Ocean Master. I'm like, I immediately see you as the villain here, and you're rocking it. That looks good. I love the mask and everything and the cape.
Fantastic. I actually kind of have a problem with it, the way they present Ocean Master as, like, a title.
Yeah.
That someone would, people claim the title. And it just seemed to me to be, especially the look of the outfit, which is pretty comic accurate.
Yeah.
But it's like, why do you have that?
I didn't.
You know, why would you have that title existing if it's so blatantly evil looking?
It is, but at the same time, like, I kind of dig it. I don't know. It's weird.
It's very cool. It wouldn't be in the movie if it didn't look awesome.
Yeah, which is...
There's just a little bit of a logic flaw there.
Yeah. But another weird thing about this, like, another reason why I have a bit of a problem with, like, oh, Orm can be redeemed, is didn't he just straight up murder, like, that girl's father in front of her? Straight up just kill that guy with a trident?
Yeah, he did that to a lot of people.
The DC movies have an issue with that. They really don't know how to handle that. That was a huge problem in Suicide Squad.
Was it really?
Because they blatantly, obviously, tried to make Suicide Squad Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
The problem with Guardians is that the difference is Guardians, they were all like outcasts.
They were misfits.
Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad are actual bad people. They're actual bad people who have murdered lots of other people in cold blood. They are, you can't like be like, oh, they're fun. Like, Deadshot is a killer. The first thing he says, he kills women and children. Like, you can't.
Smith.
Yeah.
He is Will Smith.
Will Smith is awesome.
Will Smith has Will Smith.
He's the Fresh Prince.
They're like actual.
Doesn't matter if he's murdered women and children.
Bad people.
Wiki Wild Wild West.
Yep.
So that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it was so tone deaf because, like, straight up, he just kills this dude in front of his daughter, just and then threatens her into, like, capitulating her kingdom to do stuff. And it's like, you're irredeemable now, buddy. I don't know, where do we go from here? And I thought that was the point of the scene, was to just push him over the edge. He's the bad guy now, because he was teetering through a lot of the film.
Well, Al, I think what the real problem here is that you have a lot to learn about Atlantean politics and what's considered normal and acceptable behavior.
They should have done like Star Wars and had a good 45 minutes of explanation of Atlantean Senate.
There you go.
Like C-SPAN for Atlantis, and then we would have understood. C-S-E-A SPAN.
Very good.
I'll say this.
That is something in Atlanta.
As weird as this is going to sound, actually they do a pretty decent job of explaining Atlantean politics in pretty succinct and like digestible chunks throughout the film. I get that there are seven kingdoms, two of them are gone. I get who they are and what they represent. And then Dolph Lundgren shows up and exposits to us about Atlantean politics. And I'm like, yeah, Dolph Lundgren, I'm listening. Tell me about your kingdom and why you're riding giant seahorses. This is cool.
Who in another day probably would have been Aquaman.
In another day, yeah.
Younger him looks more like Aquaman from the comics.
Are you kidding me? He could have been Aquaman in this movie. Like, He's still
taking care of himself.
Yeah, he is. And he's great in this movie, too. I'll definitely say that.
Did you see Throne of Atlantis, the animated movie?
I did. Wow, did I have issues with that movie. And I will say this. This live-action film is a much better retelling of that story.
It sounds familiar. Like, I didn't see the live-action, but it sounds familiar. But it's weird. Like, he's alone, finds out he has family, they immediately die. It's like... So that sounds like the same thing happens. That's what happened in this. He's like, hey, mother. Oh, she's dead.
No. His mother kind of, in the beginning of the film.
In Throne of Atlantis, it was like 2 or 3 days, when he meets her.
Hence why I will say this live action film is actually a much better retelling of that exact story. In this one, Nicole Kidman is playing Atla, I believe. No, Atla is the guy in the Under the Sea. I don't remember what her name is.
Atlanta,
or something like that.
I don't know. Aquaman's mom.
Played by Nicole Kidman, very well by Nicole Kidman, shows up, and then after living with Jango Fett for a few years, and, you know...
We don't know the actor's name. He is just going to be Jango Fett for the rest of this.
Yeah. So, they have a life together. They have a son. He's a few years old. And then eventually, like, life catches up to her having run away, having had run away from an arranged marriage.
I was going to say life in the form of Atlantean soldiers.
Yeah. They catch up to her and they decide, like, you got to come back with us. And what I like about that scene is it isn't just cut, oh, she got kidnapped. It's, nope, she beats the tar out of them and then decides, yeah, I need to go back up for my own in order to protect you and my son.
I'm going
to
kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you a lot. you know what? But I'm going to do what you wanted me to do anyway.
I mean, but it makes sense because, like, you know.
I feel so bad for those guys.
Yeah.
Can I be honest? Like, the dudes that were just, like, doing their job. Okay. You know, you got a bunch of Atlantean what do you call corrections or officers, I guess. You know, cops. Guys that got to show up, like, okay, you're a fugitive, we got to bring you in. And she's like, no, kill you, kill you, kill you, kill you. And then goes anyway. It's like, they died for nothing.
That's a weird thing. Again, it's like they don't value life in these DC movies.
They really
don't.
I feel
like they go... I feel like the MCU goes way too much in the other direction in that sense. Like, everybody's... they even try to make Thanos seem sympathetic. The three people in Marvel who shouldn't be sympathetic are Thanos, Satan...
Mephisto,
and let's Loki? Say Doom.
Nah, Doom can be sympathetic.
Doom's totally... I completely disagree with you on actually all of those characters.
Yeah, actually, I'm with Pete on this one.
That's for another show.
Thanos absolutely in those comic books has relatable things to him. There's a whole bunch of, like, go listen to our episodes of Near Mint Guys on the Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War, and Infinity Crusade. Thanos Quest, especially.
Good plug.
Yeah.
They don't take any life. Like, everybody is just...
And when DC does...
And this is their lighter movie.
Yeah.
And when DC tries to, it's, like, comical. Because, like, they heard the arguments about, oh, Superman doesn't care about people. He just randomly destroys huge chunks of Metropolis in Man of Steel. So they go in Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. They go in, and when they're setting up for the giant battle between Batman, Superman, and Doomsday, where they're gonna, like, level half the city, they make a point of saying of some random cop saying, oh, we've got that entire half of the city evacuated
off screen.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we took care of that, you should be all good.
Oh, jeez.
It's like they just ham-fistedly say, oh no, there's probably nobody there to die when we bring down all the set pieces
off screen. They did that in Infinity War too. He's like, Wakanda, we got everybody out. But it didn't seem...
I didn't even notice that.
Evacuate the city. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've established, like, the way they established Wakanda, I believe that they have a way to evacuate the entire country about, like,
ahead.
30 seconds. So these guys have their stuff together.
Yep.
But you think they should do that in Metropolis too, though. As much as Metropolis gets attacked, they
probably
people should be bored with how often
this is only the second time that happened in the DCEU.
But this is so sad though, because there's so, like, who gives a crap about life in this movie, because, like, all of the soldiers are, like, essentially just following what Orms told them to do, and there's opposing sides and everything, and everyone apparently gets a redemption arc that were, like, except for the menial, like, soldiers who all of a sudden decide to defect to Arthur. Because, oh, he's got that trident now. Let's listen to him. And, like, it's like, wait a minute, guys.
I do have a problem. Like, none of these guys at any point are wrestling with the, we're killing fellow Atlanteans.
Yeah, exactly. That never
it's
registers
like
for that at all.
Into it, and they're like, it's not even just, like, soldierly violence.
I had
this
that
is,
thought.
They, like, launch after each other with this psychotic abandon.
Yep.
I had that thought during Black Panther. Because there was essentially a civil war in that movie. But, like, when you looked at it, it didn't look like they were murdering each other as much. Like, they were fighting and they were in blades.
Yeah, it felt like they were kicking each other's butts. But in this one, like, sharks eat people.
Yeah.
And, like, laser fire goes off. And
in Aquaman, it's pretty nasty. Yeah. These Atlanteans are dying.
And I think there's, like,
there's no question.
And I'll be honest here, like, it's a little weird, like, slightly unsettling that, like, apparently, like, the our the ones that we're okay with outright murdering are the ones that don't look human. Like, it's the brine, who are kind of like crab people, mm-hmm. and then the fishermen, who are essentially fish people. They're like mermaids. And like, but the normal human, the two factions that still resemble humans are kind of like, eh, screw them. Like, Orm has this whole plot, like, to convince Dolph Lundgren to his side, and it half-heartedly works, and he's kind of like, eh, you know what, I wanted to kill the surface world anyway, fine. Mm-hmm. And but with the other guys, it's just like, I'll kill your dad and you'll do what I want, and let's just go attack the brine and they'll listen to us eventually. And I was like, what? Are you serious? Like, just because they look like fish and crab people, you're just like, there's no elaborate plan, it's just murder their king and then... All right, I got what I wanted.
Well, it worked for the white people.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
I always approve of bringing up colonizer using colonizer tactics against them. There was so many. Do you saw Black Panther?
Yeah, I did.
How close are they? Because a lot of people said they're very close.
Superficially.
I'm hearing super, like yeah.
Yeah, you could draw a lot of parallels.
Yeah, you can. A rebel heir to the throne appears and challenges the king, and in this one he's victorious.
Yeah, instead of being he's the good guy.
Yeah, in this one he's the good guy. You could make that argument.
I don't know. How similar are the Lion King and Hamlet?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know.
The
answer is there are some plot points that you can kind of match with each other.
I thought they were supposed to be the same.
I don't know.
You could say it was mildly based on Hamlet, but
yeah,
like I said, it's really just a couple of beats. I definitely remember
there being a singing warthog in Hamlet.
Well, yeah, I mean that's obvious. I
definitely remember that.
Yeah,
but that's like the most superficial of resemblances. Like you could say that any movie with a singing warthog
is Hamlet.
Is Hamlet?
Yep.
For that, you know.
Incidentally, the actor you keep referring to is named Temuera Morrison.
The Jango Fett?
Yes. Oh,
okay. I thought I already said I don't care. He's Jango Fett.
But speaking of Black Panther, there's one character in this movie who I really, really love, and that's Black Manta.
I was about to say, we have not said word one about Black Manta yet, and I think it's about time we did.
It is, because I'll be real, I think he's like the best part of these. Besides Jason Momoa as Aquaman, I think he's like the best part in this movie. I think they set him up real well. I like the opening scene where there are a bunch of pirates who take a submarine, and Aquaman kind of shows up and stops them. And there's this moment where, like, and sets up to me a perfect reason why a bad guy wants to dog and, like, catch a hero is because he decides not to save Black Manta's dad. He just is kind of like, hey, you guys killed innocent people, and, you know, you tried to kill me, and I was going to let you go, but and then, you know, you brought this on yourself. I have no obligation to save you, and he just leaves. And
so, really, what this is Spider-Man's origin.
Or put it in a blender.
So, but and that's why
I heard that. I saw pictures of him, and I was like, wow, he looks like the character.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty darn impressed at how well they converted Black Manta's comic book look into something believable on the big screen.
Yep.
And actually even went out of their way to explain why he's got such a dumb-looking helmet.
And do we know why they drew him that way?
I have no idea. Other than
who created him? You're the guy who feels. I feel like you should know that.
No, that's DC. I'm Marvel.
Oh, fair.
But I think it was basically just to look like a manta ray, kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And in this, it's to basically keep him from blowing his head off with the I-beams.
Essentially, because he needs to create a larger helmet that's in this shape in order to support all the circuitry and stuff that's going on. And
that was a great line. With I'm going to need a bigger helmet.
It was a really good line. There's a lot of good lines like from him in that movie. And, man, I loved his theme. Like, just minor aside, everybody has a theme in this music, and I love... Everyone has a theme in this movie, excuse me, and I loved all that music. It was great.
I didn't even notice it. I'm going to be honest. I will have to check it out, but I believe it, and I think that's actually one of the signs of a good job scoring a movie.
True.
When it actually does enhance everything, to the point where you don't even notice it,
yep.
its effects.
But I like
or the, you can not notice it.
But I really, in a weird way, I feel like, man, I almost kind of wish he was the star of this movie as opposed to Orm. Like, as opposed to Ocean Master. He was the
main villain.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess they save him for another movie. Like, he does, like, show up and get rescued from, and he's alive at the end of the film. So, I'm interested in seeing if we have an Aquaman 2, and if he, but the thing about that is, like, man, you set that up so well and had him show up and have that fight that was very emotional. And it's like, I don't know if you can carry that over to yet another movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard.
Look, that's actually funny, because that's a similar reason why I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange 2, because of, not Zemo.
Mordo.
Mordo is going to be, because I love that actor. That actor is, I can't remember his name, but the guy who plays him was in...
Serenity.
He's fabulous, yeah, he's so I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name.
Yeah, it's African, yeah. He's so intense.
Yes.
So he him being the main villain, which I'm assuming of the next Doctor Strange is going to be. So, like, that sounds like the same kind of situation.
It's slightly different in this one, it's because...
Mordo doesn't go bad in Doctor Strange. Black Manta has... He goes through an arc in this movie.
Hey, anybody who harms Benjamin, oh God, what's his last name? Oh, God.
Brat.
Yes, anyone who harms Benjamin Bratt is evil. Well, yeah, I don't care. Like we had this moral ambiguity conversation before. If you harm Benjamin Bratt, you are evil. No, if that's black and white.
Well, that's true. But
yeah, well, that's
like you spent. He spent most of the time not hurting Benjamin Bratt.
Yeah, but he did. It only takes a little bit.
I know. So by the end, he's gone bad.
Yes.
But he spent most of the time being a good guy in Doctor Strange.
Was he? He was real on the fence about a lot of stuff that was going on.
He was just against...
He was like lawful good.
Yeah. And then turned lawful evil by the end of the film.
I'm not even sure he turned lawful evil, from the Benjamin Bratt harming.
All right,
yeah.
Like, everything else is like, no, you're being really irresponsible with magic, and I gotta stop you.
Yeah.
It's like, that's actually kind of a good guy thing. That the is. Only reason we think he's a bad guy is because we like Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So but
Black Manta is objectively...
Evil.
Evil, I would say.
Yeah,
he is a pirate.
He kills the captain of the sub, like, immediately when the captain has any sense of criticism about what he's doing, or any foibles about him being a pirate.
Yeah,
and then just decides to off him.
There's no trajectory where you hope for the best of him and then he falls off.
But you relate to what he's going through.
Yeah, he's got a good motivation.
He does. Because, like, if it was just, you stopped me, Aquaman, now I have sworn vengeance against you because you stopped my crime. It's like, no, Aquaman, let your dad die. No, you have every reason to, like, want to, like, murder the heck out of this guy. And I may not agree with you because you're the villain, but I can understand that pain. Like,
yes, your dad is probably just as responsible for his death. Yeah. If not more so than Aquaman.
Yeah.
But I get that this is your point of view and you hate Aquaman.
Yeah. And again, I like the design. I like the effects. Mm-hmm. I like that he gets these, here, we're going to give you this prototype Atlantean technology. Cool, I'm going to make it better. And, like, that was also pretty sweet. And, like,
I thought a lot of the Atlantean technology was just kind of goofy.
It was. It was really dumb.
Which is kind of okay, but still, I was like, to explain it, like, they could have just handed him a ray gun and said, here's a ray gun, or here's a gun. He's like, great, I'll modify it. But no, they had to go that extra step. Is like, here's Atlantean technology. It converts water into ray guns.
Into plasma.
Into plasma.
Is there any magic?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, no, Myra has magic.
Mara,
thank you.
Is that magic, or they don't really explain that.
She has, like, water control, which I think that was, like, a thing from her people or something. But, yeah, that seems magic to me.
Or is it, like, superhuman powers or what?
I thought it was magic.
Well, the whole thing in the Throne of Atlantis was that it was magic, and that's why he kicked Superman's ass.
Yeah.
Because, like, the whole Justice League went down there to fight Ocean Master, and he whooped them all, in a half a scene.
I think the whole thing here is...
It's so funny how weak he is to magic. I love seeing magic users kick Superman's ass in any context.
I'm inclined to agree.
He has nothing for it. It's worse than Krypton.
I think the whole point of this is that, like, is that whole thing of any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Ah,
unless it, unless Superman is really vulnerable to it, in which case you could tell it's definitely magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Superman isn't directly in this film, so
yeah, he's mentioned.
You don't get to find out.
There's vague mentions of Superman and Steppenwolf in this movie.
I wonder how many people they're going to kill in Shazam? Is that what they're calling it?
Shazam. They're calling it Shazam.
Yeah, I wonder how many
innocent bystanders hope everybody except for Shazam dies in the movie. And he is directly responsible for
directly
it.
Directly responsible.
And it just ends with like him standing in a field of charred corpses with smoke rising from all of them. And he's sitting there with the with the big gulp straw in his mouth.
How did I get here?
Not even just the slurp. Like that shot that we've got is from that last scene, and what you're not seeing on the posters,
out with all the dead bodies.
Yeah, it pans out from that shot to see the charred corpses everywhere.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
yeah.
Go see Shazam, everybody.
I hope he kills people as a kid.
No.
That'll be the DCEU influence.
Well, no. You know what? You know what? I hope that all the rest of the foster kids in that home. Murder people. The foster home is like a murder cult. Billy is the only one who can't murder people until he gets the powers.
They're all orphans because they murdered their parents.
Yes,
that's why they're there.
Well, that's canon. That's from the comic book.
And that's why he gets chosen to wield the power of Shazam. It's like, well, you're the best at murdering. We got to give you the power to murder.
I would not be shocked. This is, hey, I see Randall Park was in this. He's making money on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, who?
Randall Park. He's
Randall Park.
He's the dad on Fresh Off the Boat, but he was also FBI agent in Ant-Man.
He was.
Oh yeah, and but he's in Broom Shakalaka.
He plays a scientist who believes Atlantis is real, and people are kind of like, "Oh, what are you talking about?" You know, like, and then
he was a much bigger deal in this story in the comic books.
Yeah, he was actually. He's not so much in this film at all.
Oh, yeah.
But that guy.
Yeah.
And
he
rescues Black Manta and eventually is kind of like, oh, and they're kind of working together by the end of the film. So that's. We have that to look forward to in the sequel. Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah. It's funny, like, when you see people who are working both sides of the fence and they're like, oh. Because Ant-Man felt a little bit like a feeder system into the MCU for ABC people. Because Lawrence Fishburne was in it too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who is in Blackish. Specifically, two shows that are back-to-back on the same night have people in. So,
yep.
And, vertical integration.
And can I say, not Lawrence Fishburne. Who's the other guy we were just talking about?
Randall Park.
Randall Park. I know him from not only this and Ant-Man, but from the Broom Shakalaka ad from
is
Adult
that a real thing you're
saying? Oh, yes. Yes. And he's also on several of the HR posters at my place of work.
Oh, wow.
Really?
From his work as a stock photo model.
I know him from the... Oh, what was that movie that Wong Fu Productions put out? It's weird. It's like a predictive dating app that tells this really bizarre love story. But he was one of the main characters in that film.
The people I slept with?
Maybe. That might have been it. But anyway. Anyway, going back to Aquaman.
2001, A Space Odyssey?
Exactly that. Thank
you. Okay, yeah.
But like going back to Aquaman, though, looking forward to that sequel. Looking forward to those characters coming back. I guess the end character we haven't really touched on is probably, why am I getting, I'm going to get her name
Mara?
Mara, yeah. Who I also feel like was charming in this film and had great chemistry with Jason Momoa. I bought that as, hey, we're starting as people that are just here for a situation. We're becoming friends. We're becoming more than friends. Everything before us. Yes, thank you.
I'm not sure I got to the point where, okay, they're believable lovers yet.
I think that I got that they were interested in each other. I didn't think that they fell in love. I just eventually felt like, oh, y'all want to bang. That's fine. I would too.
It's like, other than the fact that I knew eventually they get married.
Yeah.
I would not have seen that romance developing in the amount of time that we've had.
Again, I didn't, at no point did I feel like this was them falling in love. I just felt like it was like, hey, we started on opposing sides of a fence. We became friends and became more than friends. Like, that's the extent of where I think that relationship is, and to, I think that's enough.
Yeah, to date myself from with references, this did not go. This movie did not have sufficient time to go from the first season of Moonlighting to the final season of Moonlighting.
Wow, man! Wow. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I was a kid.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I was in elementary school when Moonlight. I distinctly remember because I loved it, and my mother wouldn't let me stay up late enough to watch it, so it was like a treat.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm barely old enough to remember Moonlighting. I do. But
yeah,
barely. But yeah, no.
That's my point, and I'm sticking with it.
But beyond that, I think she has a pretty decent character arc in this. I like that she's a haha fish out of water.
Why is she eating the flower? That's ridiculous.
And I like that he just decides, like, well, I'm just gonna eat it because I don't want to embarrass you. like, all right, thanks, buddy. And I feel like she has great lines in the film. I like great agency, and like I love the fight in Italy? Is it Sicily, actually? I'm trying to remember where they go after the desert.
I don't think it's Sicily, but it's Italy. It's someplace Italy. In the Mediterranean.
Yeah, and those fight scenes that they're like him fighting Manta and her fighting the soldiers, like just brilliant. Like really, really good. I think unfortunately they kind of peak in that scene where they have that really cool fight. But
and I feel like that fight wasn't really necessary either.
Yeah,
a little bit. It felt a bit gratuitous.
Did you see Wonder Woman?
I did not.
Oh. Wonder Woman blew its best fight scene in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, we feel like this one did too.
DC does that a lot.
Yeah.
Those are the only I've seen of the current batch, I saw Man of Steel, Suicide Squad, and Wonder Woman. So I don't have a huge frame of reference. But yeah, I think you could say that about Man of Steel too. The last fight wasn't as good as
the Smallville fight?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, they blew their best fight in Wonder Woman was in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, because I'll say, like, the last fight
was awful in Wonder Woman.
No, that's a shame. The first Orm fight's actually more entertaining than the last one. I mean, it's oddly satisfying and poetic, and it makes sense and how they get there. It's much more emotionally charged than the first one is, because it feels like they both have something to fight for at that point, as opposed to Arthur kind of being pissy and Orm just being an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's more at stake at that point. I feel like it doesn't quite compare to the fight in the middle of the film.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we could keep going on and on about this movie. There's so much in there.
Yeah.
So much happens and is packed into this film.
And it still works at a good, like, decent runtime, around 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And like it works well. I don't feel bored and I don't feel like it moves too fast.
I felt that there were a couple of points where it was dragging a little bit, but I can forgive it.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie shouldn't have worked. So much in here. Between, first of all, it's Aquaman, so ridiculous.
Your first hurdle.
It's a superhero movie. It's Star Wars with all the crazy creatures and space-like vehicles.
The freaking, like, shark to crabtopus thing that comes out? That's crazy. Like, it looks really cool.
There were space battles like in Star Wars, except they're actually underwater instead of in space. You've got, like, the Lord of the Rings quest type stuff
to go find the trident going into of Atla.
The trident and everything is like Indiana Jones,
or Uncharted or any of those other things.
It is literally like 20 different movies all smashed together to the point where it should be this jumbled up mess, but somehow they were able to pull it together and make it an engaging story that you don't feel is a mess. It just has everything.
It feels like all those elements worked for the story they were telling, and it felt like all of them should have and needed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny? That sounds the opposite of Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Oh.
Suicide Squad should have worked, and every time it was like they shot themselves in the foot over and over. Like every time they got a little bit of momentum,
there's one point where they literally
just did something
shoot themselves
stupid
in the foot, don't they?
There could be,
I'm pretty sure.
Every time they got a little bit of, like, momentum going, like, whether it was, like, music or emotion or feeling or tone or atmosphere, they just ruined it. Killed their own mood over and over.
The only scene I've ever seen out of Suicide Squad, and it's really funny, is the one where, Will Smith as Deadshot is like, "All right, guys, we're going to go do this. Anyone who wants out now, leave." And then Captain Boomerang just like, "Peace," and just kind of just runs away. And then that was funny.
I think it's time to wrap things up here.
Yeah.
Let's get your opinions. John, what was your opinion of Aquaman?
I didn't see it.
Okay. Good point.
But
No. It's okay. You didn't see it. You can't review it. Okay. Al?
Yeah.
What do you say? Mint, near mint?
Oh, I think it was
fair, or that's not how this show works.
That's a different show.
Oh, okay. So just tell me what you thought of Aquaman.
I liked it. I was good. I would definitely say, like, go check it out. It's certainly the best DC movie I've seen.
Okay. Okay, I'm getting dirty looks. John, what were you going to say?
Oh, I said, no, I'll probably watch it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. If it's like on Netflix or something.
So based on what we said, you'll probably see it if you don't have to pay much money.
Yeah, because there's still DC movies I won't watch if you put a knife to my eye. I'll choose the eye, the knife.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at you, V for Vendetta.
Looking at you, Dawn of Justice.
I'm trying my best not to look at you, Justice League.
Yeah, so I mean, the fact I think
especially you, Henry Cavill's upper lip.
I think I'll be able to tolerate this. He's not. Oh no, I'm thinking of Brandon Roth.
No,
yeah,
Brandon Roth is a different guy.
Yeah,
I will say that it's very good movie, definitely worth a shot. And this and Wonder Woman so far are the only shining lights in the DCEU.
Wow.
So thanks for tuning in. This has been our rambling review of Aquaman. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, then keep looking at the website that you found this on. And you will see more of these little podcasts that we do.
Yep, subscribe to us on iTunes. You know, follow us on our Facebook group, the Not Pro Fan Club.
Apparently these are ways you can do that.
Yep.
I just look at websites because I'm an old man.
And if you didn't like it, this has been the last podcast on the left.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.